The far enemy of karuna is cruelty. Don't think that that's just other people. We're all capable of cruelty. And it may be quite shocking sometimes to realize through doing the karuna bhavana, because it is a purification practice as well as a developmental practice, you may come into contact with the fact that yes, you also experience cruelty. It can come out of frustration, sometimes frustration with people's suffering. It can come out of a sense of superiority. So recognize that. That's a far enemy. And you may need to work with that and purify that. There's two near enemies. One near enemy is pity. And pity is feeling sorry for a person who's suffering. So you're not really prepared to engage with the suffering, and you just feel sorry for them. They're there, and you keep them at a distance. And in a way, pity is very disrespectful. Pity doesn't actually take in the other person. It doesn't engage with the other person. I had this friend when I lived at Vajraloka called Vajrachitta, and I always talk about him in this context because he remains in my mind in that context. And he was very concerned about people sleeping rough in London, homeless people in London. This was way back in the 80s, you know, and it wasn't such a problem as it is now. But he'd see people sitting in the street or in the subway begging, and he'd see people going past and just throwing down money, but walking on and not engaging with them. And he'd give them money. If he didn't have any money, he'd just sit down and talk with them. He'd just engage with them, not as a victim, not something just to be got out of the way so I can get on with the rest of my life, but he'd engage with them as another person. So if you find that you're responding with pity, look deeper, engage more fully with the person as a person, and respond in that way, respond from that basis. And it's okay, you know, we all experience pity, and the karuna bhavana practice is about transforming those far and near enemies into something closer to karuna, into a more real, more engaged response. The other near enemy is horrified anxiety. And this is where you just get completely freaked out by somebody's suffering. It may be the sort of situation where you're the first person to arrive at the scene of an accident and you're just paralyzed and you don't know how to respond. And that's horrified anxiety. And some years ago, a friend of mine's sister had cancer. And I read this book written by a journalist called Deborah Hutton, who was suffering from cancer herself. And before she died, she wanted to write down what was actually helpful and what wasn't helpful in her experience. So she wrote this book called What Can I Do to Help? And she said that what really wasn't helpful was people phoning up and just expressing horrified anxiety to her, you know, and wanting a bulletin on how she was getting on and how the symptoms were. And she said that sometimes she spent a lot of her time just trying to calm down their anxiety. And she said what was most helpful was just people treating her normally and responding in a practical, active way. Just doing things for her, like fielding phone calls from people with horrified anxiety. And I remember, also at Vajraloka, I lived with an older member called Ratnabandhu, and he said when he was a junior doctor and people were in a very bad state, he'd rush around doing lots of things to try to help them. And after a while, he realised that very often what they really required was just someone to be with them, sit beside them and hold their hand, you know, and for them to feel that somebody else was there. So those are the far enemies and the near enemies. I just want to say one thing in case you're getting the wrong impression about this practice, and I'll say this to finish, and that is that it's an exhilarating practice. It really is an exhilarating practice. It's not a saddening practice. And one thing I should say here is that The focus isn't on suffering. Analia makes this point very well in his book. The focus isn't on suffering. The focus is on developing the wish to alleviate suffering. So it's not enough just to passively get sad in the practice. You're consciously developing the wish, the aspiration to alleviate suffering. And as you start to develop that wish to alleviate suffering, even in very, very small ways, just taking the next step from where you are, it's truly exhilarating because you feel that you're coming to the heart of the human predicament. And you feel that you're coming to the heartbeat of Buddhism, which is this alleviation of suffering. As Padmavajra was saying last night, it's the Buddha's original vision of seeing that there's suffering and looking for a way to alleviate suffering, an answer to suffering. And we don't have to recapitulate all of that ourselves, but in our own small way, in the Karuna Bhavana practice, we need to sort through our confusion, sort through our mixed responses, and find a way to go forward and to engage with the pursuit of alleviating suffering if we're going to live a full and rich Buddhist life. So this is a very, very important practice, and I hope you enjoy it.